الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال تعالى والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحا صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this auspicious month of Ramadan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the fasting in this month fard on us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a reason in the Quran where he says la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you practice self-restraint. Taqwa here, the meaning of taqwa is self-restraint, and when we look at the broader meaning of taqwa, we find that self-restraint will mean in terms of everything that we have to do regarding the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything that we have to do regarding the abstinence from sin and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity of carrying out an exercise, training ourselves in this month to control our egos, to control our whims and desires. And it is for this reason that we fast. All those aspects in our daily life that were halal have been made unlawful from dawn to dusk, from Subah Sadiq up to sunset, so that we form a habit of abstaining from sins. When we are going to practice and carry out this exercise of abstaining from all those aspects that were lawful for us, then it becomes very easy for us to abstain from those aspects that are made unlawful on us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity of training ourselves and carrying out this exercise of self-restraint. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the first portion of this month, the first 10 days of this month, the moments of rahmah. And the second 10 days, the second ashara of this month, the moments of maghfirah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins. And the third one is for itqu raqabatin minan nar, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us amnesty and salvation from the fire of Jahannam. It is our moral obligation to carry out actions in this month, imanan wa ihtisaba. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned on several occasions and in the ahadith that we read regarding the fasting in the month of Ramadan and the ibadat that we carry out in the month of Ramadan, words to this effect have been mentioned, imanan wa ihtisaba, that everything that we are going to do it with the firm conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to carry it out, and I have to obey His commands and carry it out. At the same time, wa ihtisaba, and after carrying out this action with sincerity, we have this conviction in us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward us for whatever we are going to do. So it is very, very important for us that whenever we carry out our actions in this Mubarak, blessed month of Ramadan, auspicious month of Ramadan, we should do it with consciousness. That is the meaning of imanam wa ihtisaba. Everything that we do, we are going to do it with the expectation of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are going to do it with the firm conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought forward for me a program that I have to carry out in this month of Ramadan, and for that matter I will expect a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is not only in matters of rituals that we are going to carry out in the month of Ramadan, where we are going to have iman and wahtisaba, where we are going to be conscious of our actions in every aspect of our life, whatever we do, whether it's matters of charity, whether it's ibadat, whether it's a recitation of the Quran, whether it is making the khidmah of people who are in need, in all aspects we have to make sure that we have our intentions very clear, and we should do it with a consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is going to reward us for it. A classical example is given to us to remind us how we should be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We, 5 times in the day or more than that, we enter the masjid. We are given the adab of entering the masjid, that when we are going to enter the masjid, we are going to enter it with the right foot. We pray the dua, Allahumma ftahni abwaab rahmatik. After coming out of the masjid, we will set our left foot first and then pray the dua of coming out of the masjid. But the question is asked as to what intention that did we have when we entered the masjid. Were we conscious when entering the masjid that I am now entering the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Were we conscious that I am now entering the court of my Rabb, for whom I have entered to worship, towards whom I am now going to make the sajda, and towards whom I am going to carry out all other aspects of ibadah? If such things are happening to us, that we enter the masjid and we are unmindful, we are not conscious about the fact that we are entering the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we need to do some retrospection. We have to sit down and think. In other words, we have to try and carry out certain exercises that will make us conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that, we have gathered here, and it is for this that we sit in the programs and listen to all the bayans that are made here, so that we become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that we are going to do. This month is a month of rahmah, this month is a month of maghfirah, and this month is the month of itqu raqabatin minan nar, of salvation, being granted salvation from the fire of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that all the believers make a sincere tawbah. In the same manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about those people who commit sins, who have wronged themselves, but they hasten towards making tawbah. This concept of tawbah is what I would like to shed light on in this humble discussion that I am going to have here. As far as tawbah is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us as human beings, and as human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has naturally made us such that we are inclined towards good and we are inclined towards evil. If we do good, we are going to express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having given us the tawfiq to carry out acts of virtue. But if we are going to commit sins, we are going to not blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are going to blame ourselves and shaitan. And for that, there is a concept of tawbah. As Muslims, we are supposed to be constantly making tawbah. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has been mentioned that any person who constantly makes istighfar, astaghfirullah, or other words that we have to use in the light of the hadith to make istighfar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that any person who constantly makes istighfar is not from those people who persist in sin. We have to understand the fact that there is one thing that we call committing sins, but then at the same time there is this concept of making tawbah, which we have to do continuously carry out. In this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, that those people who commit acts of evil, or they have wronged themselves, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ, they remember Allah, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ, and they seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and Allah, there is no one besides Allah who will accept the tawbah of a believer and forgive him. Respected elders, in the light of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and whatever we learn from the Quran, tawbah is only the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. There is no other door we can go and knock at for repentance. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's door, that we can knock and ask for forgiveness. And this act of sin, these crimes that we may commit, can be committed as many times as possible. But there is nowhere else that we can go to, but we will turn towards the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek forgiveness. Now here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا, israr, persistence in sins. As Muslims, at any juncture, if we have to commit sins, we have to ensure that at our earliest opportunity, we should make a tawbah. We should seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. The ulama write that the moments that we have to look at as far as persistence in sin is concerned, when will we be called persistent in sin? Ulama mentioned that between one salah and another salah, if we do not make tawbah and we commit that sin again, then we will be considered as someone who does persist in sin. وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا means that when we have committed a sin, if somebody has committed a sin of stealing, then at his earliest opportunity he should ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by carrying out the other conditions also. But if he does not make a tawbah and he still steals again, that means he is persisting in sin. Israr on sin is a great crime. That is why here, in the light of وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, the Mufassirin write that persistence in sin will not occur if a person, after having committed a sin, makes tawbah immediately. And the span of time is between one salah and another salah. Quote from the ulama, it has been mentioned that the angels wait for a sa'ah, a few moments. And if that person doesn't make a tawbah, then that sin is written down in his book of actions. And some ulama mentioned that the angels wait for six or seven sa'ah, say a few moments still. And then if he makes a tawbah immediately, then the angels don't take the trouble of writing that action in his book of records. They will leave it out. But if he has to carry on after that, then it is written down in his book of actions. And in the same manner, it has been mentioned that if he carries, he does not make a tawbah after having committed this action, and then he commits it again, then this is israr in the crime. That means he is persisting in the actions that he is not supposed to carry out, the evil actions. And this is not a good sign. Persistent on sin is not a good sign. As Muslims, it should be our habit to always carry out tawbah. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi writes that just as we have formed a habit of carrying out sin, in the same manner we should have this habit of carrying out tawbah, making tawbah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Because he writes that there is every possibility that he will have the good fortune of making tawbah, and by making tawbah he will be expiating himself from his past sins, and he will be blessed with this good opportunity of being in a state of tawbah when he is dying. In other words, he will have made his tawbah at the time of his death, or when he is dying he will have already have made his tawbah. So this should be a habit, just as it is a habit for us to carry out evil actions, in the same manner it should be a habit for us to make tawbah constantly, so that we expiate our sins at our earliest opportunity, and we have this good fortune of dying in a state of tawbah. In the same manner, Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi was asked that a person commits a sin and then he makes a tawbah. Again he commits a sin and he makes a tawbah. For how long? So Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that in this I see a good trait of a Muslim's character. That means he constantly makes tawbah. He commits a sin and then makes tawbah. Again commits a sin and makes a tawbah. So that means if this is going to carry on 70 times in the day, it will not have any evil effects on him. But this is a sign of a good trait of a Muslim's character, that he constantly makes tawbah. In the same manner, when we talk of tawbah, there are certain conditions that we have to meet, and it is very, very important that we meet those conditions so that our tawbah is tawbatan nasuha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to make a tawbatan nasuha, a sincere tawbah. Now for this there are conditions, and the ulama have mentioned that the first condition that a person should fulfill is that he should not be indulging in that sin when he is making the tawbah. In the second condition is that he should show remorse for what he has done, and he should be regretting what he has done. And then the third condition is that he should make a firm resolution that I am not going to do it again, to do it again. Now the ulama mentioned that when he carries out these three conditions and makes a sincere tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely forgive his sin. And there is a discussion among the ulama regarding the acceptance of tawbah, whether it is qat'i or whether it is zanni. That means, is this tawbah that a person makes, ask for forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guarantee that he has been forgiven, or is it just a possibility, a great possibility that he is going to be forgiven? The opinion of the majority of the ulama is that this tawbah that a person makes is qat'i, that means he is guaranteed acceptance and his sins are forgiven. In the same manner, we have actions that we carry out which are sinful, but they are related to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there are those actions that are related to the rights of our fellow human beings. When it comes to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Him to forgive us, and He will forgive us directly. In the same manner, it is very, very important that we understand that if we have our salah, which we had missed, it is not only... a shortcut that we sit in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for forgiveness and we will be forgiven. Yes, for this sin of not performing salah, we will be forgiven. But at the same time, there is the qada that we have to make. This qada will remain on our heads, and it will be our responsibility until we do not remove it, we do not make qada. Or if we do not have the opportunity of making qada, we make the wasiyah of paying out the fidya for not performing the salah, or we were not able to make qada while we were alive, that's when we are going to make our siyah. But while we are alive and we are incapacitated to such an extent that we cannot make the qada ourselves, then we have to pay a fidya. So this is very, very important that we understand. In the same manner, if it is in terms of our saum, we have missed our saum, then we have to make qada and then ask Allah for forgiveness as well. In the same manner, there are certain actions that we might have committed, but there is no qada for it. So if we are going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. Then we have the huququl ibad, acts that we have committed, wrongdoings that we have committed against our fellow human beings. There Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive us until we ask them to forgive us. So it is very, very important that if there is something in terms of usurping other people's property or in terms of usurping other people's wealth, then it is very, very important that first of all we make amends for that, and thereafter we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. If that person is not alive and we have to make amends for it, then we have to make a sadaqah in that person's name, and then ask Allah to forgive us. Or if that person's heirs are alive, then we have to make sure that they receive it, and we ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, that we have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to our capacity. And this fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is by carrying out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstaining from sins, can only occur if we are going to constantly make tawbah. And when we are going to make constant tawbah, then we will be able to live according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Because by making constant tawbah, even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed in our taqdeer that we are going to carry it out 70 times in the day or in the night, or several times a day or night, but because we are making constant tawbah, we'll be fulfilling our responsibilities as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command is about fattaqullaha mastata'tum, that we carry out actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do, and at the same time we abstain from sins that actually we abstain from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at all times we are going to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek forgiveness. And even if this has been written in our taqdeer that we will be carrying it out many times in the day and night, we should not be worried about that. But as long as we are making constant tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with this life where the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of living according to our capacity and fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to our capacity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to understand the virtues of this month, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness and shower His rahmah on us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us amnesty and salvation from the fire of Jahannam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.